coming up in just a couple weeks, it's an annual event. It's called Pause for a Cause. It helps to raise funds to benefit the Virginia Search and Rescue Council canine groups. Pause for a Cause is being put on by Geneteau Animal Hospital. So we have Susan Bright from Geneteau Animal Hospital here. Good morning.
Good morning.
And David Fleenor, of course, with Canine Alert. And you guys have been in here before, and it seems like every year this Pause for a Cause event gets bigger.
It does. It does.
Okay. What's new and exciting this year, Susan?
Main thing is we're actually up to over 40 attractions this year from last year. So we've grown by about 10.
We have,
of course, all of the Virginia Search and Rescue canine groups coming. They're going to do a couple of demonstrations. We have different vendors, albeit maybe animal related, to some of the at-home sales groups, so it's a good opportunity for them. There'll be food vendors, a huge array of silent auction items.
Yeah, so where can people get more information, like on the silent auction?
We actually have a Facebook page set up just for Pause for a Cause.
Okay. And so usually, Pause for a Cause on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's P-A-W-S, by the way.
And usually about a week or two out, we'll start posting all the different silent auction items just so people can get an idea of what
there
is.
So people should start looking right now and on up to auction time, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And that's going on during Pause for a Cause, which is Saturday, October 15th from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the
Chesterfield Fairgrounds.
Okay, great. And it's rain or shine because it's an indoor event, correct?
Correct.
Okay. 40 vendors. I know last year you had like dogs everywhere, of course. You could go shopping for your pups. You could eat and drink, hang out, and of course watch the canine demonstrations. And David Fleenor, I know you've been with Canine Alert. How many years has it been now?
Since 91.
91.
And what's that? How do you add that one up? 25 years?
25 years. So you're definitely an expert in this field. What can people expect to see during the demonstrations?
Well, this year, like last year, we're going to have the seven canine groups of the Virginia Search and Rescue Council.
So seven different groups from across the state.
We're all part of the same council, which we're all part of the MOU groups for the Department of Emergency Management.
Okay.
So we're going to bring in, I think we have three demo time slots. And we'll be demonstrating exactly how we train the dogs, or first off, what we do, how we train the dogs, and show the dogs working a small little problem, and get that interaction with the kids and the parents.
So speaking of, you said, we'll tell people what we do. What is it that you do for people who are not familiar?
Well, in the state of Virginia, there's no paid structure for search and rescue unless a particular sheriff's department or police department chooses to put that in the budget. So what happens is the Virginia Search and Rescue Council was formed to create a unity of teams throughout the state that are all volunteer and all non-paid. And we meet certain standards and have a memorandum of understanding with the Department of Emergency Management. So when a locality has a need, has a missing child or a lost child, elderly adult, they can call the Emergency Operations Center, who will then contact us and send us out free of charge.
But there's no state or federal funding?
None.
That's just a shame. It really is, because when you've talked before about some of your search and rescue events, and it's out in the middle of the woods, or it could be in the water in the dark of night and all types of weather conditions. And you and the dogs and people that do the search and rescue, you go out there and bear the elements along with the dogs.
We do. All sorts of weather. In fact, there are many times that the weather will turn bad, let's say freezing cold, sleet, snow, whatever, and they'll suspend a search. And the search and rescue teams are like, no, we're prepared for this. We train in this.
Okay.
We can, you know, we don't have to stop.
They suspend the search for the people out there, but then you guys come in, or you continue on, correct?
We prefer to continue on.
Right.
You know, they don't. Some localities have a misunderstanding that, oh, no, it's not safe to search at night. Well, we do a ton of training at night.
Right.
Actually, the dogs work better at night.
Right.
So we have to convince them, no. I mean, if it's a manpower thing, then slim back your staff, the pay staff, but let us continue doing our work.
Right. And it's all volunteer. And there's a lot of man or woman hours, staff hours that go into training a dog. How long does it take for a dog to become, I guess, certified to be a rescue dog?
On average, you're looking at about a year and a half to 2 years. And that's
including
training the owner to be a dog handler and training the dog.
Okay. So where does a person, if they want to get involved in what you do, which, you know, when you get down in the nuts and bolts, it's pretty exciting stuff. How would a person get involved or help?
You contact a local search and rescue group near you. And if, you, if you're not familiar, you can Google them. You know, you can Google canine or not canine alert, sorry, canine search and rescue teams, Gloucester or Fredericksburg, and you might start seeing teams that pop up that you can get with. Some of them might not be with the state, but they're good teams, right? You can contact us through our website, and we will redirect you to a team that's close to you if you're not local. We're local to the central Virginia area and the Richmond area.
Right.
There are teams in up near Spotsylvania. There's a group up in northern Virginia. There's a group down in the Hampton Roads area. There's a group down in the southwestern part of the state. There's a group up in the Harrisonburg area. So we got groups all over. So if you don't mind a short drive, if you're in between, you can actually choose from several different groups.
And there's lots of ways to volunteer and get involved, whether it's behind the scenes or out there, you know, in the woods, being with the dog. So just a veritable buffet of ways you can help. And, of course, money is always needed. And that's why Paws for a Cause is coming up again on October 15th. Now, is it a portion of the proceeds from the event go to the...
All the proceeds.
All the proceeds. Wow, that's impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, last year they were able to get, well, or just over $7,000 they raised, and that between the seven groups, that was a huge chunk of change that went to all out to all seven groups.
Okay.
It was wonderful.
Tell me a story about your last search and rescue event.
Well, that would be county west of here. It was a teenager with special needs.
Okay.
A large kid who... I can't remember the exact scenario of why he ended up leaving the house. Maybe it was an argument. Maybe he just wanted to get away.
So he wanders off.
Yeah. And the local sheriff's department was called when he didn't return home. The sheriff's department tried their best to try to locate him, you know, traveling roads, looking around houses and stuff like that, and ended up calling the state, who then ended up getting, I think it was about, you know, 10 different groups there, about three different canine groups, and the rest of them were ground teams and management. We worked that search for, I want to say, 3 days.
3 days.
3 days. We found him. He ended up being found by a homeowner who went and checked on his dog pen, and one of the hunting dogs was free and walking around and was sitting by him.
Isn't that amazing?
He's leaning up against a tree sleeping, and that homeowner found him with the dog.
Yeah, I know we've talked before about what kind of dogs make good search and rescue dogs, and it could be any breed, right?
Any of your medium-sized to standard-sized dogs.
Obviously not
size.
A Chihuahua.
Correct, correct. So if you look at the stereotypes, you look at your sporting breeds or your working line dogs, like the German Shepherds, your Malinois, your Labrador Retrievers, your Golden Retrievers, Border Collies, Australian Shepherds. Those are your typical purebreds, but often you'll find that some good mixed breeds from the SPCA will do just as good, if not better, work.
And you have the story of Rika, your search and rescue dog, who's been with you for years and years and years, and tell us how you and Rika got into this line of work, because I don't think that was the main intent when you two got together, correct?
Actually, it was.
Oh, it was.
My
okay.
first dog was not the intent, but Rika was. I was still in search and rescue without a dog, and I didn't want to raise a pup to start search and rescue.
Right.
There are a lot of stories of people who buy dogs for search and rescue that end up with a dog that can't do search and rescue. So my fear was ending up with that. So Rika was a career change from being being trained as a leader dog for the blind. When she got career changed, I picked her up when she was a year and a half, and we started training there. And I had to deprogram a lot of that guide dog stuff out of her, which is all close by stuff, and teach her to range out and be a dog again. But I've had her for just over 7.5 years.
Yeah, amazing story. And wish you would have brought her or could have brought her, because to watch the silent communication that goes on between you two when you're within vicinity of each other, it's like she looks at you and you look at her, and like she changes and then she waits, and it's...
We make a good team. She understands my moves and I understand hers. We do a lot of nonverbal communication.
Yeah, it's amazing to watch. And again, that's just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to going to Paws for a Cause. You can watch these canine teams go out there and you do mock searches and rescues. Very interesting. And dogs, obviously, if you want to bring your dog, you can. It's all going to be inside at the Chesterfield County Fairgrounds. And again, that's Saturday from 11 to 4, October 15th. What else would you like to add, Susan, about the day's events?
It's a good community feeling to watch everybody come out. Too many people forget about this type of a group until you absolutely need them. And that was kind of why we chose them. It kind of brought awareness to the need for them. And like we've said, they do it all on their own. They don't get paid. They don't get money given to them by anybody, like government-wise. They do it all on their own. And they rely on the community to kind of back them a little bit and support them so that they can be there when you need them.
And you can learn a lot about what they do and gain a huge respect for the work that is done. David, what is needed most right now by Canine Alert and the other rescue groups in the state?
Funds are always the biggest driving force for us. When we don't have funds, we come out of pocket. And we spend enough money during the year responding to searches, taking time off from work. So funds are always the biggest thing, and which is why Pulse for a Cause is a huge bonus for us, because it consolidates a lot of fundraising effort into one day that benefits, you know, to take another group all year long to raise those funds, just doing car washes, bake sales, or raffles, or something like that. And that can happen for us in one day. Last year, one of the newer teams that are groups that are part of the council, they were finally able to open up a checking account with the money they got from Pulse for a Cause. I mean, it lets you know sometimes how thin the budgets can be. The statewide, you know, these teams probably average anywhere between $2 million savings for the state when you consider all their time and miles that they put into search and rescue efforts.
I mean, this is your life.
And when you have that kickback for the state, you know, we're the cheapest, best dollar they'll ever spend. You know,
exactly.
I mean, no one gets a return on their value like that. And we respond to anywhere between 60 and 80 searches a year. Okay. So while you've never heard of us.
60 to 80 searches a year. So sometimes when we see a story on the news about someone who wandered off, a patient with Alzheimer's, dementia, a lost child, the Amber Alerts, good chance that you guys are involved behind the scenes.
Yes. Yes.
Pretty amazing.
It is. And we're the silent searchers of the night, so to speak. So when you wake up in the morning, you see a little blurb in the paper about a 13-year-old child with autism that was missing overnight. Police canines found him in mourning or something like that. 9 times out of 10, they generically call us police canines because we never hang around for the media to even talk to them.
Right.
So it comes out as, oh, there was a canine there. Well, it must have been police canine.
Right.
Usually when you see police canine found a child, it's probably going to be a search and rescue
team. So why don't you hang around and speak with the media?
It's not what we do. It's not why we do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we're asked, you know, if there's a protocol anyway on whether what we can and cannot say. And generally we have, you know, they have their public information officer anyway. But if they ask us, we will.
Right.
But it's not our game. You know, we're searchers.
Why did you get involved in this?
I stumbled into it, and my reasons changed early on. First reason I got into it was because my dog needed something to do. And then through the course of the effort of getting operational, and you evolve into this person that realizes there's a whole bigger world out there that needs help. That, you know, sure, there are probably, 60 search and rescue canines in the state, and you're only one of 60. What difference does that make, right? But then when you realize that search happens tonight, and tonight, out of all the 60 teams, they're working, they have family commitments. And now you're no longer one of 60, you're one of 7 that are able to show up.
Okay.
And you start to realize that you going through that sacrifice to get there to help is a huge benefit. You're just like, well, what can I do? No, it ends up being massive when you show up locally like that.
Exactly. Pause for a Cause again, Saturday, October 15th from 11 to 4, Chesterfield Fairgrounds.
Last year was fun. Last year was the first year that we got all the Virginia Search and Rescue K-9 teams involved. All of them said it was the funnest event they've ever done. You know, we all do state fairs, community fairs, little small gatherings and stuff to do demos and talks and stuff. Last year, when they got involved, they said, we want to do it again. We'd love to do it again. It was a lot of fun. It's very engaging for the public with all the vendors they have there, between the law enforcement, sheriff's departments they have there, and the police departments they have there, showing off what they have, the different vendors. And there's just many, many different canines you're going to see that do search and rescue, too. You're going to fall in love with one of them.
Absolutely. Susan, in closing, why did Geneto Animal Hospital decide to start fundraisers for search and rescue dogs?
Well, we started out several years ago looking for a way to help a nonprofit group. Mm-hmm. And it took us a few years to actually come across these guys. And it kind of hit home a little bit with us. We had one of our coworkers whose relative went missing. And unfortunately, it didn't have a happy ending. But we found out that they were actually involved in helping give that family closure.
Yeah.
So it kind of hit home with us.
What are those things where you're compelled to do it, right?
Yeah.
And thank you for that. Susan Bright of Genito Animal Hospital, David Fleener with Canine Alert. And again, it's Pause for Cause. We hope to see you on Saturday, October 15th. It's 11 to 4 at the Chesterfield Fairgrounds. And for more information, visit Pause for a Cause on Facebook.